Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I want to share some principles with you that will help you. There are two major ways God communicates His emphasis and brings us the dimensions of His realm. The first way is by the Word, and the second way is by the impartation of the Spirit. The Word of God actually is a strategy of God to crystallize spiritual realities. And so sometimes when time is of the essence, God will boycott the Word and impart you with the Spirit. Praise God. And so there are certain things you come into because you are taught precept upon precept, lines upon lines. And there are certain things you come to know and experience because you were carried into it through the vehicle of impartation. I said that to say, even if we don't teach so much tonight, much has already been committed in the name of Jesus. But for the little window we have, I just want to share a few things. I didn't intend to have an explosive session like I told you before I started, but it's well. And so we calm it down a bit so we hear some things. I want to share with you some things that will help you. Tomorrow I will deal with the subject of the emergence of sons, the emergence of kingdom functionaries, the emergence of kingdom ambassadors. But for tonight, I just want to give you a few spiritual things that makes for acceleration, promotion to the next level. Since it's a next level conference, so we lay a foundation. Every believer should be progressive because God is a progressive God. God wanted to colonize the whole earth. He began from a garden. But eventually, the Bible said, the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And so God is a progressive God. It doesn't matter where you start from. But by all means, you need to keep moving. You need to keep making progress in the spirit. The Bible said in Proverbs 4:18, it said the path of the just man is as a shining light. And it says it shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And so in the calendar of God and in the dealings of God with man, He expects man to continually progress in the spirit. And so when you find a believer who is not making progress, something is fundamentally wrong. Thank God for salvation, but we were not saved to remain at the level of salvation. Thank God for new birth, but we were not born to remain children. If a child is not growing, after a period of time, there is a sickness, there's an infirmity, and the parents will become concerned. So it is in the spirit. It's not enough to be excited about the salvation experience. It's not enough to remain a child of God. we must constantly and progressively advance as we walk with God on the face of the earth. And so when we discuss the subject of next level, it's a subject that is cardinal, is a subject that is imperative in our spiritual experience. There are believers today that are the way they've always been. If you met them 10 years ago and you meet them today, there's nothing you can say has happened to them. It's impossible for you to trace any supernatural thing happening in their lives. The way they were 10 years ago is the way they are now. Meanwhile, physically they've grown, but spiritually they are the way they are. It means something is wrong. And so tonight we have come to examine from the scriptures the things that makes for shift in the spirit, the things that makes for migration in the spirit, the things that makes for acceleration in the spirit, and the things that make for moving from one level of glory to another. Because you've got to understand that this is an important subject in your Christian experience. There are three things that defines the value of a man in the spirit. The first thing that defines the value of a man in the spirit is the position he occupies with God. The second thing that defines the value of a man in the spirit is the grace that he is in custody of. And the third thing that defines the value of a man in the spirit are the possibilities he can make happen. And so when we are talking about a shift in the spirit or a shift to the next level, it's not primarily about mundane and natural things. Make no mistakes about it. A shift is not that you didn't have a car, now you have one. Because you don't need to know God to have a car. But the truth is that he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all these things shall be added unto you. That means when a man is shifting in the spirit, the physical will respond. But it's also possible for the man to shift in the physical and not shift in the spirit. And so what we are talking about here are things that have to do with positions in the spirit. Where are you standing with God? What we are talking about tonight are the things that will make you become a recipient of higher graces in the spirit. And what we are talking about tonight are the things that will not just empower you, but will make that the empowerment you have in the spirit will affect the natural. And so there are certain possibilities that will begin to play in your life. When you study the scripture, the men that heralded the move of God, these were the three things that defined them. There's a position they occupy with God. There are graces that they represented in the spirit. And there were possibilities that found expression whenever these men appear, because they were custodians in the spirit. And so if you are a believer and you are not growing in positional advantage in the spirit, you are not shifting. If you are a believer and you are not increasing in grace, you are not growing. And if you are a believer and things don't happen when you are around, it means something is wrong. You may have a lot of titles. You may have influence among men. It doesn't mean you are relevant as touching God's eternal agenda. And so tonight, the things we want to investigate are some of the things that make men to grow into higher pedestal in their standing with God. Some of the things that makes for men to grow in grace, and some of the things that makes men to become commanders of possibility. See, there are many people that if they show up here today, if you are barren, your answer has come. You don't need to pray again. That they came means your answer was sent to you. Because they are custodian of operations in the spirit that touches fruitfulness. And so if you are seeking God for the fruit of the womb, one of the ways God will answer is that he will send them to you. If they come, their appearance is tantamount to fruit of the womb. There are many people that are custodians of healing dimensions and healing virtues. And so when you are sick and you are seeking God for healing, he can choose to answer you in diverse ways. But one of the ways God will answer you is that he will send them in your direction. Sometimes they will just be passing. They will not even come to visit you. If you discern them, and they enter your house, even if they drink water, when they leave, you discover the infirmity is gone. Because they command things. And so when men are shifting in the spirit, one of the ways you know is that their positional advantage in the spirit will also shift, because we are not the same. When men are shifting in the spirit, the kinds of graces they command and the weight of that grace changes. You see, this thing we did here now, that we started worshiping and people were falling under the anointing. There are other ministers that will do this. When you fall under the anointing and you stand up, you will leave here and get a job tomorrow. It will be beyond you fell down and stood up. There are other ministers that when you fall and stand up, cancer will vanish, because of the weight of the grace they carry and the things they can command. And so we are not the same, because we are battle axes in the hands of God, and God uses us for different kinds of battle. You don't use all your weapons for the same fight. There are some weapons that are fight for cutlass. There are other weapons that you need an AK-47. And there's a battle that you need a grenade. If you go for a grenade fight with a cutlass, you are a dead man on arrival. And so God does not fight with everybody for the same battle. And so for you to be relevant with God, you need to grow so that your shape in the spirit will change. Let me show you a few things so that you don't think I'm just talking. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible said that the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and desired them to wife. And he said they went into these women and gave birth to giants. And he said in those days were the days where these guys were called the men of renown. He said they were mighty upon the face of the earth. And one of the things they brought to the earth was wickedness. And the Bible said the wickedness and the imagination of the heart of man was continually wicked because of the oppression of these men. And so he repented God that he made man. God regretted that he created man. And so God decided by an act of his sovereignty that he was going to wipe out the face of the earth, man from the face of the earth. But when God wanted to destroy man, suddenly the Bible said, Noah found grace with God. And so in a whole dispensation and in a whole generation, one man had a position of standing with God that even though God regretted to create man, God could not destroy him. And so God was compelled to create an ark, and God waited for 100 years. Because of the position this man occupied with God, he could delay what God wanted to do for 100 years. Because God could not destroy the earth so long as Noah was there. This thing was already concluded in the council of heaven. The wise men, the watchers, the princes in Zion had concluded that man should be wiped off. But Noah was standing on the earth. And because Noah stood on the earth, God had to wait for 100 years until an ark was created to protect Noah. That was why when his story was told in Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible said that when God wanted to destroy the earth because of Noah, God had to suspend his action. And he said, God commanded Noah to create an ark, and Noah moved with reverence. And he said, because of that action, he became the first man that understood what righteousness without works was. Because he was righteous before God. Righteousness is a position of standing with God. There are different places different people stand with God. And on account of that, there are certain things God cannot do because of them. Sometimes the reason God spares a city is not because everybody is praying. It's because one man is there. And so if you make the mistake of thinking we are the same, you are a joker. Now, if you study the book of Genesis chapter 13, Lot walked with Abraham. And a point came that both Lot and Abraham became big in the eyes of men. You know, one of the things that deceive us is that we are all big in the eyes of men. And you can use many things to be big in the eyes of men. You can use money. You can use skill. You can use social media. But in the spirit, you are not the same. And so when Noah decided to go to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that land was about to be overthrown, Abraham was not in Sodom. Abraham was in Bethel by the gate of Mamre. But when God wanted to destroy Sodom, God came to talk to Abraham about Sodom. And Abraham, who was not in Sodom, told God, what if you find 50 righteous men? Lot, who was in Sodom, was supposed to be the gatekeeper of Sodom. Abraham was not in Sodom, but Abraham had the key to the gate of Sodom. And Abraham had the stature with God to define and to determine whether Sodom will stand or four. And Abraham negotiated with God until he stopped at 10. That means Abraham was the one who decided the fate of Sodom because of where he was standing with God. The benefit of escape that Lot enjoyed was because of Abraham. We are not the same. We are not the same. God was speaking in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1. And here was what God said. God said the action he's about to take. He said, even if you bring Moses and Samuel, I will not change my mind. You know what that means? That means of all the intercessors that lived on the face of the earth, Moses and Samuel were the most ranking intercessors. So God is saying, these are the only people that can change my mind on any matter. He said, but on this one, they won't change my mind. That was God telling us that men are not the same. Because people like to argue so much. Let me also come to New Testament. Because when you talk things like this, they say, it's Old Testament. It's Old Testament. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, Paul was writing a letter to a city. A letter to a whole church in a city. And he said, Epaphras is one of you. He said, he's a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That means the reason the church in Colossus was accurate was not because of all the pastors. It was because of an unknown man that Paul had to introduce. He was not popular, but it's the reason why the church in Colossus was standing. That means Epaphras alone is more relevant than the whole church in Colossus. Because men are not the same. Now, when we are teaching a subject like this, we are not attempting to deify men. We are actually showing you what you need to do in order to become so relevant in the hand of God. Because it will be unfortunate that all of us walk through time. And then at the end of the day, we go to Zion. And then some people have crown, others don't have. And then they tell you that while you were walking on earth, your relevance level was different. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He said, I have kept the faith. He said, there remained for me a crown of life. That means the crown of life is not for everybody. The crown of life is for those who fight a good fight. The crown of life is for those who keep the faith. It's not for everybody. James was speaking, and in James 1:12, he said, I have withstood trials and tribulation. He said, therefore, the crown of righteousness awaits me. Now, this man knew that men are not the same. And because they knew this, there were certain things they did in life to give them relevance in the realm of God. Christianity is not just a gathering of excited people. Christianity is a race in the spirit. And that race is to bring you to a position of relevance with God. Is to bring you to a point where you sustain a disposition where you can host certain graces. And it's also a race that brings you to a place where you can make things happen in the earth realm so that the kingdom of God can find expression. And these things are not a gift. They are earned. I'm dying. Today, I see the breaking of a brand new day. The name of the Lord alone is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Out of the ashes of my dying today, I see the breaking of a brand new day, in which the name of the Lord alone is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. Jesus, you are the light of the world, Jesus. You are the hope of creation, Jesus. More than all this, you are. Jesus, you are the light of the world, Jesus. You are the hope of creation, Jesus. More than all this, you are. Don't worry. Let's talk some things. I want to show you some secrets. And you know, a spiritual thing is not a secret because it's not available. A spiritual thing is a secret because It has to be revealed for you to find it. Two of us can quote the same scripture, but you will know the scripture, I won't know it. That's how spiritual things work. We can quote one scripture. That scripture can make you a millionaire. I will be quoting that scripture and walking through poverty. Because the proof that you know truth is not that you can recite it. The proof that you know truth is that it will make you free. He said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you. There's something Pastor Owen knew many years ago that made him start traveling around Nigeria. It took more than 10 years for some of us to stumble on it. The sign that you know is deliverance. It's not quoting of the same scripture. So listen to some of the principles I want to show you. And if your heart is open, your life is about to change. Because what I'm talking about is not a title. There are many bishops that don't know what disciples know. When God wanted to anoint Paul, he didn't send him to a bishop. In fact, Paul took letters from bishops. And when God wanted to anoint him, he sent him to a disciple. And the disciple showed up and said, Brother Saul, the Jesus you met on your way sent me. You met Jesus, he sent another man, because we are not the same. I thought when you meet Jesus, you have come to the end of the road. No. The body of Christ is an organism. There are certain things you will go to heaven, they will tell you, go back to earth. Somebody is with it. That's why I want to teach you what I want to teach you. Because some of you are waiting for an angelic encounter. You want to say like Paul. I know a man many years ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but he was taken to the third heaven. You too want to go to the third heaven. There are certain things you will go to the third heaven, they will tell you, sorry, somebody is with it on earth. That's why Paul met Jesus, the glorified Christ. He said, go into the city, you will be told what to do. I thought when you meet Jesus, that's when you are told what to do. The body of Christ is a mystical organism. That's why Paul said, for this cause, many are sick. He said, many are weak, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning. Because there are some men on earth today, they represent the judgment of God. We are all in the era of grace, but these men are the symbol of the judgment of God. Hope you know that a sorcerer was in the church of Philip. Philip could not do anything about it. But when Peter showed up, it looked as if in the body of Christ, Peter was a killer. The same Peter that in Acts chapter 5, somebody sold his land, hid some money, and he said, why have Satan entered your heart? And Ananias fell down and died. They now say, no, it's the Holy Ghost that killed him. When Sapphira came in, Peter didn't wait for the Holy Ghost again. He said, the feet of them that carried your husband are waiting at the door. She fell down and died. Because Peter is a judge. We are still in the era of grace. But Peter is what? A judge. If you make the mistake of saying we are all equal, you are in trouble. Peter entered the church of Philip. And he met a sorcerer. And the sorcerer was walking his way into that assembly, corrupting it. He looked at him, he said, thy money perish with you. He said, there is a gall of bitterness in you. And Peter judged him. You know what Peter said? You have no part in this. What does that mean? You don't know what it means. Respectfully speaking. He said, you have no... That means Peter denied him salvation. Another man on earth denied another person salvation. He said, you have no part in this thing. He had concluded the guy's fate by an utterance. That's a judge. We don't say this to deify men, but these are ranks in the spirit that God wants to bring us. Because if men don't rise like this, the body of Christ will be in trouble. We don't know these things. We don't pursue after this thing. That's why terrorists are entering the church. If we have one judge in the body of Christ today in Nigeria, and he said, anybody that crosses the border of the church dies. Terror. Wait. There will be no need for security at the church anymore. If one judge rises and says, if you cross the church with a bomb, die, it's over. These are the kinds of men that they had in the early church. That's why they survived the Roman Empire. They survived it. Because mystical creatures were walking in their midst. There were certain men that would stand up and say, in this season, there will be drought. The Bible said Agabus prophesied that there will be drought for a period of time, and famine began because he spoke. We have no judges anymore. We have no judges. But God is about to teach us by another syllabus. Because the problem the body of Christ had is that when men started touching anointings, they started building empires. They stopped going forward. Some people, it's the same anointing they were using 20 years ago, they are still using. Because they entered that anointing when they were young men, they could raise cripples. It's still cripples they are raising. But the apostles didn't stop there. Peter healed cripples in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Peter went further to become a judge that could keep the borders of cities because of authority. So there is a need for us to learn another syllable so that we'll grow. Thank God for the anointings. And as I begin to speak, you are going to know that I'm not despising what was. But I know that there is more. And the people who represented the gate, they have played their part. A new generation is about to emerge. So we need to take the baton forward. And for us to do that, we need to touch the things that the fathers didn't touch. However, we can't touch it until the fathers transfer what they carry to us. Because when you are building a story building, you don't destroy the foundation to build the seventh floor. The seventh floor, we also stand on the foundation that was. And so the first way to enter into a shift in the spirit is through discerning the custodians. The custodians. You have to discern the custodian. You know, you were talking about honor when I came in. I will mention it. Because honor is one of the five things you do when you meet a custodian. We are not the same. There are some among us who are custodians. But there is a mindset you need to sustain before you meet a custodian. Number one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. And so the first thing you need to understand is that there are treasures in men. So when you meet a man, what you need to try to find out is not his name or where he came from. Is to find out the treasure that he carries. Because this is not just about apostles and prophets. There are certain old women in your village that carry treasures that is not on the altar. Some people, what they carry is long life. You may be most anointed, but you cannot go beyond 35. You will need somebody who doesn't have the title of a prophet or an apostle to tell you that, my son, you will grow old until you get tired of living. Then you will now discover that evil life is with men. Life, breath. God has willed it to some men. They are called custodians. So what we are teaching here is not about who apostle and prophet. It's about the graces men carry. That's why I told you men are known by three things. The position of favor they occupy with God. The grace that they carry. And the possibilities that they command. A man may not be an apostle, but the possibility he commands is greater than five apostles put together. You need to discern it. If you don't discern it, you cannot enter that tribe in the spirit. But the first thing you need to know is that what? There are treasures in men. And so when you meet men, don't be carried away. Find out what treasure is in this person. If you find that treasure, if you can discern that treasure, then you have entered the first layer of transition, because those treasures are the things that move people. But at the same time, while you are discovering that treasure, there is another thing you need to know at the back of your mind, that this treasure is an earthen vessel. That means this man, even though what they carry is of the excellent order of God, they are still men. The treasure is in an earthen vessel. What does that tell you? It's possible for this man to have flaws and mistakes. And so when you come for the treasure, go for it, take it and go away. Many people can't receive from men because when they come, they think the man is as perfect as the treasure. That's where they lose out. And this is not to make a case for error in the life of men. When you find error in a man's life, intercede for him to stand. And if it is possible for you to counsel with him, counsel with him. If you are not in the position to counsel with him, tell somebody in a most polite manner who can counsel him to counsel him. You don't make mistake excuse for error. However, we will always be hurting vessels. And so the treasure is not in the treasure. The treasure is in an earthen vessel. If you are first of all able to know that there are treasures in men, and then you know that the men who carry the treasure are men, then you are qualified to receive of what they carry. And what they carry is not a treasure by name. It's a treasure because of the possibility it commands. If it cannot command any possibility, it's not a treasure. There are certain men that can command dying things to come back to life. They have fruitfulness in them. Your business is dying. If they come and say, be blessed, the business comes alive. Your wife is barren. They say, be blessed. Your wife will give birth. It's fruitfulness. It's a treasure. It commands possibilities. A spiritual thing is a treasure because of the possibility it commands. And for a generation to shift, that generation must discern the treasure that different custodians carry. And they must also understand that the custodians are not as perfect as the treasure they carry. That's why I didn't say they are treasures in treasures. They are treasures in earthen vessels. But those earthen vessels, you must know that they are gifts to you, even though they are earthen. That's why I said when he ascended in Ephesians 4 verse 8, he said he gave gifts unto men. So those earthen vessels with their weaknesses, they are gifts to you. They are gifts to you not because they are perfect. They are gifts to you because they are the doorway to accessing the treasure. And so if you don't know how to receive them, they will die with the treasure and take it to the grave. Elisha knew how to receive the treasure from Elijah. But when Elisha died, he carried his own to the grave. And even the bone of Elisha could raise the dead. Elisha did twice what Elijah did. That means the person who took what Elisha carried should have done four times, because it's a geometric growth. And the person who took what the person who took from Elisha took should have done, if he did four, it should have been 16. And then the next person should have done 64. That's how the earth will be conquered. But when an Elisha dies with the treasure, then the earth will go back to a cycle. You need to go to where Elijah found it. Because if Elisha gets it from Elijah, Elisha will not need to do what Elijah did. But if Elisha cannot hand it over, then the generation that comes after Elisha, we have to go back to where Elijah found it. Because Elijah is the one that knows what he did to tap it. That's why the same grace that can be received by an impartation, people are fasting for 10 years to access it. It's not everything that takes time. Certain thing takes a receiving from the custodian that carries it. But if a generation is not wise, they will labor and they will be wearied in their laboring. He said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. He said, for they know not how to enter the city. Do you know what it took Paul to access the grace that he carried? Paul, after he encountered Jesus, he said, I went to the wilderness of Arabia. It was in the wilderness of Arabia that Paul touched the grace that he touched. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, he said, the things you have received from me, the same commit to faithful men. You don't need to go to Arabia. I have gone to Arabia on your behalf. And so instead of going back to Arabia to find it, take it from me. And he advised him quickly. He said, you too, commit it to faithful men. Let it not end with you. Because if it ends with you, the next generation have to come back to Arabia. The reason our generation is not shifting is because we are not discerning the custodians. They are men who carry things. They may be preachers, they may not be preachers. There are certain things that you inherit from your biological parents. There are certain things you inherit from elders around you. There are certain things you inherit from ministers of God that God puts you under their covering. You must discern who a custodian is. If you want to shift in life, I am telling you, I know it like I know my name. I can tell you the things I picked from my biological mother. I can tell you the things I picked from ministers of God. I can tell you the things I picked from elders. And I can also tell you some things that I picked from strangers. Did you not read? The Bible said, be careful to receive men. Be careful. It said, because some have despised men and not knowing that they've put away angels. Because sometimes God sends this treasure in the likeness of men. And so when we find a generation dishonoring authorities, we fear for them. This is not a fight for an apostle or a prophet or a bishop somewhere. This is a fight for a generation about to lose inheritance because these things are transferred. Today you hear some people, some young people call me and they ask me questions, strange questions, strange questions. Questions like, who anointed Elijah? Who anointed Jeremiah? And then when I look at them, they think they are sounding intelligent, but it's a sign of biblical illiteracy. Because when you study the Bible, there are scriptures called descriptive scriptures. There are scriptures called prescriptive scriptures. And there are other scriptures called didactic scriptures. A descriptive scripture just tells you the story of what happened. When you are reading descriptive scriptures, you are going to find many silent parts. You don't build a doctrine from silent portions of scripture because they are not didactic. And Paul was advising Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:4. He said to forget about men that argue about endless genealogies, that ministers question rather than faith. That's an elder advising a younger person. He said, forget all those endless genealogies. Pay no heed to fables and endless genealogies that minister question rather than godly edifying. He said, from such, turn away. It is the foolishness of man. It's a bankruptcy of spiritual intelligence. You don't build a doctrine from a silent scripture. You are saying who anointed Elijah, whereas God told Elijah to anoint Elisha. One is an instruction. One is a silent part of scripture. How can you gamble your destiny with a silent part of scripture? This is God commanding the same Elijah you are referencing to go and anoint somebody else. This is God telling Paul to impart somebody else, and you are asking who anointed them. A descriptive scripture tells you a story. You can infer things from them if they will minister faith. A prescriptive scripture advises you on what to do, and a didactic scripture commands you to do it. And when you study scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, men don't appear. In few occasions in the Bible, scriptures didn't say how they came. But areas where doctrine should be formed, you hear God commanding men to do it. So it is an ordinance. If you study the New Testament, Paul commanded Timothy to ordain bishops to superintend over the heritage of God. That's how you form doctrine. You form doctrine from didactic scriptures, not salient scriptures that minister questions. It's called endless genealogies. They don't end. And when you think you have arrived, you'll find another question. And the point comes, you become confused like a philosopher that has no beginning or end. And so you've got to be mindful that men carry treasures. Now, when you find a custodian, there are four things you should do. Number one is to honor them. Honor is different from worship. You don't worship a custodian, but you honor a custodian in order to take what he carries. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 8, the Bible said, the Lord sent his word to Jacob, he lightened upon Israel. He sent the word to one man, the nation was blessed because of that man. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the laying on of my hand. This is Paul claiming that what Timothy carried, he put it on him. He said, the gift of God that is in you because I laid hands on you. So this is not something that ended with Moses and Joshua. This is a scriptural operation, a principle of the Bible. But how can a man lay hands on you except as you discern and honor that man? In Hebrews 7:7, he said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. But the way you can receive the blessing of the better is to honor him. Did you read? When Isaac wanted to bless the son, he said, get for me a savory venison that I will eat and my soul will bless you. You know what that means? The blessing is not primarily the word spoken. The blessing is actually a transference from one soul to another soul. You can speak over a man whose soul is not connected to yours. He can't be blessed. This is why when you dishonor a carrier of a dimension, he may not even know it. He will hug you. He will impart you. He will fast over you. Nothing will happen. Because it's a soul-to-soul business. He said that I will eat and my soul will bless you. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, he said, we are affectionately desirous of you. So we did not just teach you the gospel. We imparted the substance of our soul. The transference of grace is from soul to soul. And so the way you receive is to create a gradient of honor, so that the lesser can be blessed of the better. This is a generation highly intelligent, but with no manifestation. This is a generation highly intelligent, but no proof. Because it takes more than intelligent explanation of scripture to command the spiritual possibility. When the spiritual possibility is to be handed to you, they will check your heart posture in the spirit. And if you cannot honor men, you can't honor God. The same way, if you cannot love men, you can't love God. And so God knows that your exegesis is correct, but it's a risk to hand over power to you. You are too high-minded. You are too full of yourself to command an immortal power. This is why you find people doing all kinds of things, because they don't love men and they don't honor men. And so one of the checkers that God will put in place before committing a spiritual reality to a man is the degree to which he discerns and honors those who carry it. I'm telling you why many are not moving forward. It takes discernment and honor to be able to shift in this kingdom. And if you argue it, your life will prove it to you. You will find people that younger than you in the faith, some you even want them to the kingdom, in a short period making tremendous exploit, and you are wondering why you are where you are. This is one of the reasons. When a man's heart is weighed in the balances, one of the ways God checks to see if you are broken is the honor you have for other men. And if you cannot honor men, you are high-minded. God will resist you. You don't even need anybody to pray for you. God will resist you, because it will show. There are many people that nobody is better than them, nobody is bigger than them, arrogance, and they have nothing to show. Nothing to show. But they will never humble themselves for God to be able to help them. If our generation truly wants to shift, we must discern the carriers of graces, whether in the house of God or outside the house of God, and we must be deliberate in honoring these graces in order to receive from these graces. The second way to interact with a custodian is to give to them. The idea of giving is not an attempt to buy it, because you can't buy a spiritual thing with money. But in the spirit, giving is one of the things that makes room for people. And so when you give to a man, his heart opens towards you. This is not bribery. Because all of this action, God is the one vetting it. Remember, when God wanted to ordain 70 elders, he told Moses to call them, lay hands on them. He will be the one to take the spirit from Moses and put on them. So if you go with an attempt to bribe, if you go with an attempt of deception, God will check your heart. Nothing will happen. Your giving actually is a pure intention to honor what they carry and their labor of love. That's what Paul taught in Philippians chapter 4. He said, concerning giving and receiving, he said, no church gave to me, but ye only. And after Paul spoke, he said, you have become partakers of my grace. And in verse 19, chapter 4, he said, my God shall supply all your need. So two things happened. Because the church communicated giving to Paul, Paul said, number one, they had become partakers of his grace. Paul said, number two, my God shall supply all your need. People quote scriptures out of context. God is not supplying the need of everybody. The man who is praying for a church that communicated to him by giving. He didn't pray that prayer for everybody. He didn't tell every church they were partakers of his grace. The church he told was a church that communicated honor through giving. That's why it was taught. If you study the scripture in Matthew chapter 10 verse 40 and 41. He said, if you give to a prophet in the name of a prophet, he said, you receive a prophet's reward. He said, if you as much as give a cup of water to a righteous man. So it's not just talking about preachers. It's talking about everybody in the body of Christ who carries something to offer. He said, if you give a cup of water. So it's not bribery. That's why he reduced it to a cup of water. So it's not about how much. It's about how it is communicated. It's a heart of honor. You are showing your admiration. You are showing your honor to a grace that somebody commands. You don't buy a gift with a cup of water. So the giving is a spiritual disposition of your heart towards that which the man carries and towards the vessel himself that carries it. And he said, if you discern and honor that much, he said, you will not receive a spiritual gift. He said, you will receive the prophet's reward. He said, you will receive the righteous man's reward. What does that mean? What makes him a prophet will begin to work in your life. What powers and sustains him? This is beyond saying be blessed. He's now telling you the reward of a prophet is the essence of that prophet. That's what the prophet represents. And he said, if you discern him and honor him by communicating substance, he said, what he represents will begin to speak in your own life. This is a spiritual principle. Simple but powerful. People negate it. That's why they don't make progress. If you know how simple it is to make progress in life, you will hate yourself for being where you have been always or for struggling through life. If you know, some people, all you need to honor them is just to greet them properly. But you find an arrogant generation. They are telling you your doctrine is wrong. How can you say this? We don't validate error, but there's a way to correct. And there is a who to correct who. Not everybody can correct everybody. A lawless and rebellious generation. Bragging with knowledge. Knowledge without proof. He said, wisdom is justified not by how eloquent it sounds, not by how accurate it is presented. He said, wisdom is justified by her children. I'm showing you how to move. And some of you who will receive this truth and apply them, you will see what will happen in your life in 6 months. Sometimes when God wants to help you, God himself will tell you, take this, go and give this person. That means mercy is at your doorstep. If God himself tells you, take, go and give, just know that mercy is at your doorstep. People love impartation. You keep imparting them January to December. They roll on the floor, rise up, nothing to show because of their heart. High-mindedness. There's no body they can honor. High-mindedness. The third way to relate with a custodian is to serve him. However, this is based on divine leading, because you can't serve everybody. But sometimes when God wants you to enter into a spiritual inheritance, he sends you to serve. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible called Joshua the servant of Moses. This is Bible. This is God talking. How can God call another prophet the servant of another prophet? Is God encouraging idolatry and deification? No. Honor is not worship. He's talking about a heart and a place of service. Joshua found definition in serving Moses. And so sometimes when God wants your life to shift, he will send you to serve somebody. I'm telling you why men don't shift. It's not everything that is impartation based. These are the corridors of genuine, undeniable, unrefutable progress that nobody anywhere can compromise or deny. Irrefutable. You want to have a proof that cannot be questioned or challenged. These are sure pathways of accessing them. In 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, Elisha was called him that poured water in the hands of Elijah. That's a national prophet. Elijah is no more. They were seeking a prophet in Judah. They didn't look for the most forensic. They looked for the one that has a track record of service. We know there are many forensic. Hope you know that they had consulted with 400 prophets. There were 400 other prophets who were seen accurately from the throne room. But they went to look for a prophet that has a track record of service. Because we know this one is not just a seer. There's integrity in his life. Because one of the ways you can verify integrity is to check the record of service. They didn't call him Elisha the seer. They called him Elisha that poured water in the hands of Elijah. This is how men shift. And if you genuinely serve men, you don't need to prove yourself to anybody. What God will do in your life will be an attestation. God will validate you. This is a generation of politics and gimmicks. Men can come to spoil your name before the one you are serving. Be accurate. Don't try to do politics. Don't try to backbite. Don't try to do gimmicks. Just be accurate. The God that judges the heart of men will validate you. And one of the signs God will use to validate you is that what he's doing in the life of that person is serving, you are serving, he will start doing the same thing in your life. That means you have inherited it. That inheritance is the proof that your heart was right. This one is not politics that gives it. It's heart posture that gives it. If your service is genuine, you qualify to inherit that grace. You qualify. And the way God vindicates and validates you is that everything he's doing there, he will replicate it in your life. Because in the spirit, you have that order. Service is a hard thing. And it's one of the ways God shifts men. Our generation can't serve. Can I tell you something about service? The minimum number of years you should serve a man is 7 years. Go and read the Bible. If you have not served for 7 years, you don't qualify for rest. The years of service in scripture is 7. The number of 7 is the number of completion. If you have not done it for 7 years, you have not graduated. That means you went there out of ambition. It's politics. And when 7 years is done, if God wants you to go, even if the people don't want, God will reject you. What we call service nowadays is to use men to gain visibility. It's politics. Somebody comes to a place after 6 months, 1 year, he wants to also be on the altar preaching. As he starts preaching, the next thing he opens the page. As the page starts growing, he starts his work. Go and read the Bible. The world was created in 6 days. On the 7th day, God rested. Jacob served Laban for 7 years to get his wife. He was manipulated. He served for 7 years to get another wife. 7 years is the year of service. When a slave served for 6 years, on the seventh year, that slave has the right to buy out his freedom. That is biblical standard. You have not served a man until you have served for 7 years. I'm talking about tangible, undeniable proofs. And so if you are not sure God is sending you to a man, don't go. Because if you go, unless God speaks to him to commission you, if God doesn't speak to him, you will serve for a minimum of 7 years. If not, you can't receive an inheritance. Are you learning something? This is not a place of, this is not excitement. This is not, I'm showing you how men shift. We shift by honor. We shift by giving. We shift by service. Most of us, the reason we are struggling now is because we didn't serve correctly. We did politics. We did manipulation. We are men. Men are weak. I can come and lie to you about somebody else. You will feel you can rely on me. And then on the strength of your weakness, you will promote me. It doesn't mean God has promoted me. A man can promote you. God has not promoted you. That's why you have to serve with a perfect heart and serve correctly. Correctly. If you want to shift. Number four. The fourth way to receive from a custodian is to pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you can't receive what they carry. You have to pay attention. In Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it says, be ye followers. That is committed, focused, and passionate disciple. Be ye followers of them who through patience and faith obtain the promise. Most times we are, our attention span is divided. Especially the social media age. Somebody said he's following a man, and then he's working with that man. Everything he's doing reflects somebody else outside. You can't receive the inheritance of the house, and what is happening outside, you can still not receive it because you are divided. And when you are divided, even the one you have, you lose it. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 40, a parable was told. And God wanted to punish a king, and he sent the prophet Nathan to him and said, go and tell him this. First of all, tell somebody to hit you a stone and injure you. He met somebody. He said, strike me. The person said, no. He said, let a beast devour you. That's one of the scriptures I've not been able to explain all my life. He said, let a beast devour. How can you say I should strike you? I say, it's not fair. You say a beast should devour me. And a beast came out and devoured me. That's why you have to be careful when you are dealing with men. You don't know who they are. You don't know the assignment they are on. Is it right to hit you? No, it's not right. Why will you now say a beast should devour me? And the beast obeyed. He went to another person and said, strike me. The person struck him. And then he went to the king in a disguise and said, my lord gave me a servant to keep. He said, as I was busy here and there, I lost him. And the king said, you have your judgment. Because he said, my lord said, if I lose him, my life will be demanded of him. He said, you have your judgment. And he said, that is your offense. But the principle is that if you are busy here and there, you can't master any spiritual things and you can't inherit anything. Do you know one of the crises our generation will face? We are not focused on anything. Somebody goes for one prayer meeting. As he leaves that prayer meeting, he enters another prayer meeting. He enters another prayer meeting. He thinks he's doing so much. Activity does not translate to growth. You know the problem that person will have? The kind of prayer they will lead here and their belief system will be different from the kind of prayer they live here, lead here, and their belief system, and it will be different from this one. So at the end of the day, their lives will be contradicted. It's better to focus on the one God sent you to and grow than to be everywhere. You will never grow. You will go one place, they are saying they will kill everybody. They will kill everybody. You pray it with all your faith. You come and, to another place, they say, they don't kill people. God love everybody. You will pray. You will now come to another place. They don't have a stand. So at the end of the day, after 4 years of praying, you will go nowhere. Because you don't know which one to stand on. And you have not built on anyone. They jump on one message. On the same subject, they hear one. They hear another one. They hear another one. At the end of the day, their lives become a contradiction. I'm not saying don't listen to people. Not, there's no one man anywhere that has the counsel of God. But at the same time, don't prostitute around. Some people go to four churches. Four churches. And at the end of the day, check them out. After 4 years, they are still begging God to intervene in their life. They are still under so much pressure. Is it okay to listen to 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 person God leads you to? Yes, but it should be by leading. Not just a zeal, uncontrollable zeal, wanting to gather everything. You can go nowhere. One of the problems this generation will have is that they will not be thoroughly discipled. Because they will not sit enough under anybody to impart a dimension to them. One of the crises this generation will have is that they will not thoroughly serve anybody. Anybody can jump on YouTube and start a page and become a preacher. And there's no work on ground. He doesn't know the labor of evangelism. He doesn't know the labor of discipleship. He doesn't know the labor of prayer. He doesn't know the labor. Oh my. May the Lord help this generation. That's why you come to a place, everybody is praying like a bomb. As they are going out, you start hearing gossip while they are yet coming out. Come into a fellowship that they call prayer fellowship. Everybody is a warrior. When they are praying, there are different kinds of battles, battle axes. But when you check the politics going on there, it doesn't even happen in Nigerian politics. And everybody pursuing mundane things. It's a body. And so the fourth way to receive from a custodian is pay attention. What does paying attention mean? Hear his instructions and obey them. Hear his instructions and obey them if you want to receive what he carries. Listen to what Paul taught in Philippians 4:9. It said, those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, he said, the same do. What you have learned, what you have heard, what you have seen, and what you have been taught, he said, do them. That's what it means to pay attention. That means you learn, you see, you hear, you receive, and then you do. If you don't do this, you can't receive. And so when you find a man who is enjoying a shift, who has a standing with God, a custodian of a grace, and who can create possibilities around him with ease, go and check. He has discerned the custodian. He has honored the custodian. He has served the custodian. He has given to the custodian. And he has paid attention to the custodian. That's why those graces find expression through his life. These are the things that genuinely shift men. You will find things happening in your life effortlessly. We're out of time. We'll continue in the morning. I wanted to talk about the word and prayer. Because that's where the main message is. This one is introduction. It's not paining me that I will stop here. Somebody will hear the message and say, he taught only about men. When is morning service? Sorry? 8. Hope 8 is a good time. Sorry? No, sit down. The Holy Ghost will talk to you. I'm rounding up. He'll come up. But please, listen. These things I'm sharing with you, they are not emotional. That's why before I started, I said, today is not fire. It's not revival. I want to show you, if you genuinely want a shift, I want to show you something. And if you are a spiritual person, there are at least one or two persons God has revealed to your heart. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the popular apostle. I'm not talking about the popular prophet. This person could just be a minister at your backyard. You will sit there and serve and grow. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a popular person. Some of the people we serve, when we met them, nobody knew them. We left global platforms to serve them. Global. As of 2010, I was already snapping with CEC members in Christ Embassy. People like Pastor Ambrose Sesele. I knew them personally as of 2010. I was already attending conferences in Lagos, interacting with people like Pastor Vale Odutomos. He's the best pastor in cell ministry system. Before God sent me to Makurdi. I'm not talking popularity. If it's popularity, we will not go to some of the places we went to. It is divine leading, because God wants to shape you so that they can give you a position among the ranking ones. It's because there is a grace God wants to put in your life because of your destiny. And because there are possibilities that needs to begin to happen in your life. So it's not about popularity. This is not politics. This is about God trying your heart in order to shift you to a position of authority in the spirit. And there are most of you sitting here. There are men God has led you to. There are men God has indicated in your heart. Some of you, God has even brought his angel with their faces to minister to you. But you are busy pursuing all the popular men, trying to impress them, trying to seek them. You will travel from Lagos to Abuja, travel from Abuja to Anambra to give a seed. Whereas the people God is sending you to, you don't care about them because they are not on every platform. Success in ministry is not popularity. It's rank in the spirit. And the man that carries your word may not be a popular man. There are some of you that God may connect to those who are popular because of what they carry and because of your destiny. So this is not an attempt to suggest a minister who is in obscurity or to suggest a minister who is popular. It is to follow the leading of God in your heart, because God knows you best and God knows what you need per time. And when God connects you to a man, please honor him. Give to him. Serve him. And pay attention to him if you want your life to shift. If Paul didn't pay attention to Ananias, he would never have become an apostle. If Timothy didn't pay attention to Paul, he would never have become a bishop. This is how the kingdom works. And the reason many people are thwarted, struggling when they shouldn't struggle, is because they have negated the leading of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow, I will talk to you about two more. The place of the word and the place of prayer. When I'm talking about prayer, then movements can take place. But I will show you how men make progress by the word. The word. If you have no word in your spirit, you can't go anywhere. Every promotion in the spirit comes with a scripture. If God wants to give you a genuine promotion, a genuine shift, he will send his word to you. He said, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Then, he said, the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and lord of his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. If your word does not come, you can never enjoy a shift. He said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their infirmities. One of the ways God shifts men is to send them a word. You can be in obscurity and suddenly God shows up and say, because I live, you shall see tomorrow. It's finished. You can be in obscurity and God sent his word to you and said, I am the maker of the heavens and the earth. You can be in poverty and God sent his word to you. The cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to me. It means your breakthrough has come. It will always take the word for you to enjoy a shift. And finally, it will take prayer. If you don't pray, you can't move. There is such a thing called patterns of the bloodline. A man doesn't move just because God bless him. A man moves because he's able to break controlling influences. That's what gives principalities authority over people. God can tell you, you will be an apostle to the nations of the world. If your family have a pattern of immorality, if you don't break it through consecration, even though God has spoken, you will never be. Because that addiction will become a weight. And the Bible said to put aside every weight that doth easily beset us, so that we can run the race with patience. So you can't run with a weight. And so what principalities do is to put weights on bloodlines. And so there are certain bloodlines that they are liars. And God wants you to be a prophet, but your tongue is evil. How can you ever prophesy the counsel of God? And so even though the word of the Lord is hanging on you, your tongue will never let you manifest. And so for you to manifest, you have to build up in prayer. Because there is a place you pray to where there are coals of fire. That's where your tongue will be touched. And if your tongue is touched, it will be purged. When you come back, you can become a prophet. If you allow that weight on your life, the prophecy will be correct, but the manifestation will never come. The reason many never enjoy spiritual promotion is because there are patterns in their bloodline. They've not broken it. And so the devil deceives them to continue in secret iniquity, thinking they are smart. No, in the spirit, nothing is a secret. He said, we have come to an innumerable company of angels. There are billions of angels watching everything you do in the dark. He said, you have come to the spirit of just men made perfect. There is a company, a cloud of witnesses. You are the one who thinks you are alone. Everywhere you are, there are witnesses, both in the angelic and among the spirit of just men made perfect. And so if you truly want to be promoted, you will pay the price to align with the consecration of the mantle you are looking for. That's why before John can carry the mantle of Elijah, he must become like Elijah in the spirit. That's why you need to travel by prayer. What prayer will do for you is that prayer will cause you to come to the high places of the kingdom, where men are purged, where men are equipped, where men are refined. Because if that kind of refinement does not come, then you cannot host the waste of your destiny. He said that we groan that we may be clothed. We groan. Iniquity has covered our chambers. So we want to wear another kind of garment. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 26, the Spirit himself helpeth. Because sometimes when you pray, your tongues will not be enough. So your fasting will not be enough. The Holy Ghost will have to come in to help you. He said the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's the refinery of the spirit realm. God will chisel you. He will reshape you so that you can align with the mantle of your destiny. Because some of you, the mantle you carry is purity. You can't wield it with adultery. The power of your destiny is hinged on purity. You can't wield that mantle with lust. No, until lust dies, the mantle won't speak. Some of you, the power you carry, it comes with alignment. Because you are a servant of a spirit. And the more you align, the more the doors will open. And for you to find the utterance of your destiny, you will have to travel by prayer. It is in the corridor of destiny that you will discover that talent is not enough. It's on the corridor of purpose that you will discover that human intelligence is not enough. Go to the street and find how many first class students are languishing in sorrow. You will see the helplessness of certificate, except a spirit breathes upon you. And he said, they that wait in the secret place of the Most High, they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's when the Holy Ghost breathes on your certificate. I know a young man, very skillful footballer. They gave him a contract from Ajax around the 90s. That's when men like Kanuan Kwo rose up. The day he was supposed to travel, somebody showed up in the dream and pulled his hand and the bone broke. He woke up with a broken hand. There was no time to treat him. The date, the hand is like this. That was how Ajax contract was cancelled. They didn't change it on paper. They changed it in the spirit. And so for a man to enter destiny, there are places he must go to in prayer. That's where David went to. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restored. That is not a scripture to quote. That is a realm to enter. There is a realm called the realm of the still waters. There is a realm called the realm of the green pasture. Prayer will have to take you there. When you enter the realm of the green pasture, you will not lack energy for destiny. The stamina to fulfill destiny, you will receive it from the green pastures. Some of the scriptures we quote are not for quoting. They are the dimensions where patriarchs enter. And when you study the life of David, David was a man of the altar. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. David was the one that said, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of God than to rule elsewhere. He said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. He knew the spirit there. He was a traveler there. He walked there. He lived there. David was the only man that trained soldiers with psalms. When he wants to train a warrior, he carries his harp. And as he begins to travel with his harp, he begins to download sound from the spirit. And suddenly, the warriors of David, the world have never seen a type of them. He said, Anadoni the Esnite, who is also of the Tachomite. He said, he took a spear at one time and he slew a garrison. He said, Eliasa, the son of Dodo, he took a spear and he slew 800 men. He said, Shammah, the son of Agee. How did he train those men? There was no record that David went to a military school, but David knew the way to the spirit. How do you think Paul was so wise? He said, I knew a man many years ago. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. He said, but that man was carried to the third heaven. How did he journey those paths? He said, I thank my God because I pray in tongues more than all of you. Paul was one man. He prayed more than the whole church. That's why they traveled in the spirit. I can see the movements in the spirit. The waters are beginning to move. Ilakuma kakata velarana zalia shubakena. Yandia, Ilele, Pareka, Slamate, Shibak, Kakila, Parigana, Sayata. Bele, Savia, Baena, Zubakata. Is that you, dearly beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. I take a bona, Saki Kakada, Panakakatuna Takata, Siki Kakata, Katuna Patakaski, Pamuat, what, Kakika, Kika, Kakika, Kakika, Kakako, Bailey, Kakaka, 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 mighty men of David despised him. They wanted to stone him. And the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what Paul was teaching when he said, be anxious for nothing. He said, by all things, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests. There is a way a man can mount up with strength from obscurity by prayer. Where you don't need anybody to tell you
who you are,
you'll find yourself in the spirit. You want to pray for 1 minute before we leave here? You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? I tell you, the difference between men is the weight of their altar. The difference between men is the fire on their altar. The fire. Shadow, Jida, Pekakude, Tatua, Barakua, Quash, Karararas, the Dadia, Sumea, Skau, Deu, Radadadadadino, Benakakuda, Tatuash, Kakate, Paragado, Stumea, Leandua, Rakakakuna, Tena, Tataki, Takitaka, Tutuata, Lakakatua, Tatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat We have to stop here because I can see movements already. Oh, the angels of fire, the seraphims, the keepers of the gates of purity, the keepers of the gates of righteousness, the keepers of the jealousy of God. Oh, why you la shamaka. Oh, sky. Hear this. I'm rounding up. But the hand of God is about to come on someone. He said the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. In the 30th year, on the 5th month, in the 4th day, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, and I saw visions of God. He said, I fell like a dead man. He said, but as he spake, the Spirit then turned into me and carried me to my faith. Somebody's story is about to change. The hand of God. Mahika, Pekar, Rakina Tale, Felai, Zauna, Panakala, Veragaga, Sonde Paragane, Zehi, Lahano, Penakila, Karak, Tatavala, Morina, Hande Zinate, Fororono, Saperaki, Pakatalia, Sunaya, Veilana, Shahele, Satinate, Kapana, Barakatuna, Zanzalia, Kanatale, Boma, Sanava. Man of capacity, power in the spirit to take over territories, to man gates, and to back dimensions. This is your time. And so I speak unto you, arise. 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 There's a stirring in the spirit. There's a stirring. You may fall, you may not fall. It's not about falling. But hear this. There are 12 of you that God wants to raise as gatekeepers, watchmen, as custodians, carriers of divine heritages and possibilities. The first sign is that supernatural things will begin to happen around you, and all men will seek you. All men will seek you. 12 of them now, I release that proclamation in the spirit. Take that mantle. Help those of them falling. Help them quickly. It's a river. Take that mantle. Jesus. Some of you, as you are going home, you will have encounters on your way. Angelic encounters. Some of you, as you go to sleep and rest, even before tomorrow morning, you will be visited in your place of prayer, of rest. And some of you will live here, you will not be able to sleep. As you travel by night, you will receive visitations from heaven. The door of encounters opens over you tonight. And so I speak over you, shift to your next level. Shift to your next level. Shift to your next level. In the name of Jesus Christ.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.